Good evening. Let us try that again. Good evening. You see, my habits haven't changed. I didn't realize there were so many people here. This is wonderful. And to think that a number of you I know, that's very wonderful. On my last visit, many of you asked, why didn't you bring your wife? Which is a reasonable question, fitting question. She's here this time. Now, I want to follow along with the same theme that our brother has been bringing before us, perhaps from a different angle, but it will be essentially the same thing that believers have in their control, Almighty God. And much depends upon what we do with that which he has committed unto us. Read with me, please, in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, I usually determine when you have found a place by how long it takes me to find a place. And I have found a place, so I assume that everybody has found a place. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Our subject, the believer as a bondservant. Every believer is a bondservant. You remember what we read in Romans 10 and 9? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so while many of us were not led to the Lord through Romans 10 and 9, many through John 3:16, many through Matthew 11:28, we all confessed him as Lord when we bowed before him. That means, therefore, that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is a bond servant. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Already you see that my habits have not changed. We turn to many scriptures. And young folks, turn to them. Don't hesitate to turn to the scriptures when they are announced. Or you say, I know John 3:16. Turn to it anyway. Education is repetition. I remember as a young man, we had a brother that visited us. And he had a series of evangelistic meetings, for 2 weeks. He preached every night from John 3:16 and never repeated himself. Can you do it? I suggest, therefore, that we turn to John 3:16 when it's announced. There is something there that we haven't had before. And I like to think until you're able to give 14 messages, all different from John 3:16, you have not digested. May I also suggest to the young people, I'm so glad to see so many young people here, never speed read the Bible. Read it slowly. You may speed read the daily news and any other book that you like, but when you read this book, read it slowly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own. Beloved, let's get that straight. We don't belong to ourselves. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everybody looks so nice this evening. Especially the sisters, beautifully clad, lovely colors, lovely variations. You look almost like a lovely garden. That body that you put all those lovely things on belongs to him. You're a bond servant. Therefore, you must be careful as a bondservant to put on your body only what he wants on it. Is that reasonable? Some of you look very tough. If you belong to him, then you should put nothing on the body that he doesn't want on there. Am I right? Still hesitating. It's hard to face, isn't it? But it's true. If your body belongs to him, you shouldn't take it any place that he doesn't want it. He owns us. We are bond servants. Romans chapter 6, please. Just by way of further evidence that we belong to him. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know you not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants or bond servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, ye were the bond servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you become the bondservants of righteousness. We are his bondservants. Now I'm going to use another word, and this is not going to be a pleasant word. Most of your Bibles say servant, and I've been saying bondservant, which is the correct translation, but I'm going to give you a closer and better translation. Slaves. We are slaves. Well, that's a terrible word in this day and age, isn't it? But we know we are in good company. Peter was the bondservant. Paul was the bondservant. We read it this evening. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were bondservants. 11 times in the scripture we read Moses was a bondservant. We're in good company, aren't we? There is that doubt on your face. These men were all bondservants, slaves of the Lord. Was there any degradation associated with it? Not at all. Now, before we go further into our subject, read with me, please, in, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Our brother didn't read this far. Verse 21. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians 10. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or, as we read in Matthew, we cannot serve two masters. Child of God as a bondservant of the Lord, you're either serving the Lord or you're serving Satan. A young man filled out an application form. Applying for a job. And when he went to the man who was looking into this matter, the man said to him, I notice here that you have a number of references and recommendations. One from a former Sunday school teacher, one from an elder in the meeting, one from friends in the church. He said, that's all very fine, but I want to know what you do during the week. He told him what he did on Sunday. Is he your Lord during the week or only on Sundays? That's a very serious question. There's an old saying, if you hoot with the owls at night, you cannot soar with the eagles in the daytime. And if you hoot with the owls all week, you cannot soar in his presence on Sunday morning. And that's something we need to consider as bondservants. Whom am I serving? Do you know it is an honor to be a bondservant of the Lord? And I'll tell you why it's an honor. Because the Lord can get all he wants done without us. He brought the creation into being without us. And he did it in a remarkable way. Young folks, get thrilled with the scriptures. How did the Lord bring the creation, the universe into being? It's masterful. There was nothing there. And he spoke to nothing and the creation came into being. Doesn't that move you? That's our God. That is our God. And he can get his work done today without us. But as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he calls us into work fellowship with himself. We are distinctly and decidedly honored to be bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of slavery, and I repeat, that's what the word really means, we don't like slavery, do we? I don't want to be a slave. I want freedom. Well, now we must remember one thing, that slavery in Israel was not like slavery in all the nations around or like slavery today. The slave in Israel had what we would call today civil rights. You couldn't abuse him. Oh, no, you couldn't abuse him. And what's more, he was closer to God than the hired servant. Maybe we ought to look at that. Book of Exodus, please. Chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. The believer as a bondservant, as a slave. Don't feel bad about it. As we shall read here, slaves in Israel were not treated like slaves in other places. Exodus chapter 12, please, verse 43. The Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then he shall eat. Servant shall eat. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And when you turn to Deuteronomy, we learn there that a servant, a bond slave, was of far greater value than a hired servant. And I want to repeat, we are in good company when we are listed as bond servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to our subject proper. The duties of the bond servant. We're not going to discuss at this time the duties of the master. Just the duties of the bondservant. Luke chapter 6. That's right. It sounds good to hear the leaves turn. Pleasant sound. I think I've told you this before. You know, on a nice spring day, when you go out into the open and you hear the sound of the wind as it goes through the leaves. And then you hear another sound coming in the other direction, answering the first sound. It's like a Bach chorale. Well, that's how it sounds to me when these pages are turned. A delightful sound. God's people all together in his presence turning the leaves of the Bible. Precious sound. Luke chapter 6. Remember now, he is Lord, and we are his servants. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The first duty of a bondservant is obedience. The first duty of a bondservant is to obey. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15. I'll wait for you to find it. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15. The king's servant said unto the king. Nope, everybody doesn't have it. We'll wait. You see, it's far more important for you to know what the scriptures say than to know what I say. I wouldn't have you go home and say a brother came from the States and he said. Ah, you don't want that. The Bible says. That's what we want. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15. The king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall choose, appoint, or command. Whatever you say, King David, that's what we'll do. That's the duty of a bondservant. That is our duty. Total, complete, and absolute obedience to the Lord. That's duty number one. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. You know the story well of Lot when he was being delivered out of the land of Sodom. Verse 18. Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. If he's Lord, you do what he says. Don't call me Lord unless you're going to obey me. And he says, not so, my Lord. That's a contradiction. He's either Lord or he's not Lord. And we're not to say not no, not so to him. Acts chapter 10. We know this well concerning Peter. Dear brother Peter, so many people point the finger at him. Why, do you know something? I think I'm more like Peter than like the rest of those apostles. I see a lot of Peter in me. I don't know about you. Verse 14 of Acts chapter 10. We won't read the entire thing. Peter said, not so, Lord. Don't go together. If he's Lord, you do what he says. And if you say not so, then he's not Lord. I ask you, child of God, is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? Now, when you get home tonight, please read Jeremiah chapter 35 about the Rechabites. Their great-grandfather set down a rule that they were not to drink wine. And here are the great-grandchildren. Why don't you drink wine? Great-granddaddy said, don't drink it. That's just a human father, a human relative. And divine, almighty God has laid down rules and regulations in his word. We should be ashamed to be disobedient. And you know one thing about his commands? They're not difficult. They're not arduous. You read that in 1 John chapter 5. Now, I'm not turning into that scripture. They're not arduous. We read also in the Psalms, he knows our frame, that we are dust. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, where we were reading earlier today. He knows our frame, and he does not place more upon us than he knows we can bear. Isn't that nice? They didn't do that to the Israelites when they were in Egypt. They placed a whole lot on them. But our Lord is a good master. Total obedience. Absolute obedience. And you know, obedience is the key to growth in his presence. Key to development. Many years ago, there was a young man. And, he was in his late 20s. Some of you may know of him. The younger ones of you, you wouldn't know about him. You might have heard his name. His name was William Capel. And he had quite a talent at playing the piano. Incidentally, I enjoyed your piano playing and the organ playing. I like the keyboard instrument. And I like the singing. I might also say the congregational singing was good. And you didn't sing slow. And you didn't drag it at the end. But we come back to William Capel. Talented at the piano. And he went down to New York to the Juilliard School of Music. Now at that time, the outstanding piano teacher was Madame Stokowski. And he went to her and said, Madame Stokowski, I would like to take lessons from you. Madame Stokowski said, now, young fellow, I've heard about you. You are not a very disciplined individual. You like to have your own way. Now, I'm giving you 2 weeks to make up your mind. If I am going to teach you, you've got to do what I say, when I say, how I say, and where I say. Now, go home and think about it. He came back in 2 weeks and said, Madame Stokowski, I'll do whatever you say. Turned out to be a master pianist. Obedience. Discipline. And that's what we as believers need where our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. He, our master. And don't you find it with athletes? The discipline that they go through in order that they may accomplish the thing that is desired of them. Some years ago, we had living right across the street from us a young lady whom I never saw. All I know is that at about 06, 6:15 every morning, sunshine, rain, storm, winter, hail, sleet. She would leave in a car and go off. And I learned through my granddaughter that she was going for swimming lessons every morning, year round. Then I also learned later that she was a state swimming champion. Discipline, obedience, doing what the coach says. Story is told of a certain man. He had a lovely Chinese plaque, beautiful plaque. The plaque fell and there was a crack in the middle. So he ordered more plates of the same design. He sent the cracked one to be copied. When the new plates arrived, what do you think? They were exact copies, including the crack. That's obedience. That's obedience. But our Lord never leads us the wrong way. You remember some years ago at the Olympics, there was a crack team from the United States, four young men running the 400-meter relay, I believe it was. Yes. There was no question that they were going to win. It was understood that they were going to win. The night before they were due to run, the coach says, "Now, young men, I want you to go to bed at such and such a time. I want you to arise at such and such a time. And I want you to be on the field at 10 o'clock. The next morning, at 9 o'clock, they called for these four young men. They called three times. They weren't present. They were disqualified. Their leader led them wrong. But aren't you glad that our Lord makes no mistakes? You can afford to follow him. You can afford to be obedient to him. I like this little poem, and I'll read it for you. My Father's ways may twist and turn. My heart may throb in pain, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith and all in him, he maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make. Though through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake." Isn't it worthwhile following a Lord like this? And he is our Lord, and we are his bondservants. Oh, we should follow him, even when we cannot see before us what the way is. Just follow it, and we're going to come out on the end victorious. We were discussing today at home the times in which we live. And many people all over are concerned about the times. Oh, friend, if you are here and Jesus Christ isn't your Savior, take him now, as our brother urged. And know where you're going and know what your future is. For whatever happens down here below, I know one thing. I'm going to be with the Lord. And that's a good thing to know. A good thing to know. And let those of us who have him as our Lord be obedient to him in every respect. Walk before God. Obey his commands and yield to his demands. Beware of calling Jesus Lord and slighting his commands. Remember, beloved, and we're not going to go into this, there's a time of evaluation coming. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And all of these things will be brought to light. Obedience is the key to success. Do you remember what the Lord said to Joshua in chapter 1? Perhaps we ought to read that. Joshua chapter 1. I don't believe I've turned you to too many scriptures tonight. From what I have here, I have omitted a whole lot of them. Joshua chapter 1. verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. Oh, beloved, we're living in an age where people don't seem to know how to meditate. And I'm not talking about that meditation that comes from the East. I'm talking about just using your brain and meditate on the Word of God. Meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Young man, young woman, you're in school. You're having problems. Do you want success in school? I refer you to the Word of God. Oh, but I'm so busy. I don't have time. Take time. Find time for the Word of God. You'll be surprised the difference it'll make. Make a big difference. Again, for the young folks, Daniel chapter 1. Now, I've told you this before, but I see so many lovely young people here. I want to encourage you to keep the Lord before you, remembering that He is Lord and we are bondservants. Now, chapter 1 tells us about these four young men that were taken from Israel and brought to Babylon. Now, verse 9, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the princes of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children of Israel, and the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with us. Now these young men had learned at home that there were certain things they were not to eat. Well, now they might have said to themselves, well, Lord, you brought us here, and they don't serve what we are supposed to eat. So you will understand if we don't eat what we were told to eat. And many a young person in school does that. Tell me this, young people. At lunch hour, do you give thanks for your food? When you give thanks, do you bow your head and close your eyes, or do you just look into space and say, the Lord understands? So nobody will know that you're giving thanks for your food. I see some of you smiling. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Sure you know what I'm talking about. Honor the Lord. Look at these young men. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and flatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning. Do you believe that God does this today? Anybody? Anybody here believe? Some of you look doubtful. Do you believe that God, if you honor Him, will give you knowledge and skill in learning and all learning and wisdom? It works today. Now, some time ago, I believe I told you the story of two young ladies in New York City, of whom this was true. When they graduated, the one that didn't get first prize got second prize and vice versa. They took all the prizes and they honored God. Oh, you say, well, that was 30 years ago, before I was born. Fine. Suppose I tell you a similar story of a young lady, say 5 to 7 years ago. Would that be all right? Would you accept that as evidence that God can do the same thing today? Well, there is such a young lady. She's now in California. And she was terribly treated while in nursing school. Came to me many a time with tears in her eyes. I'm going home. I'm going to leave. But we were able to encourage her. And one day she said to my wife and me, I'd like you to come to my graduation. I'll never forget it. It was a Friday night. Now, ordinarily in that area, we have ministry meeting on Friday night, which I never missed. But I said to the Lord, I believe I have your will to go to this graduation. We've nurtured this child all the way through, and here she's finishing. What do you think happened? Anybody? You got any ideas? 14 prizes were given out, and she got 13. Can God do it today? That's all I'm asking. These young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Verse 18, final exam. Some of the fellows have been telling me about these final exams. Your midterms and your finals come close together in some areas. Yes. At the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And this was not a written exam either. This was an oral exam. You know how they are. Get up in the morning. Son, aren't you going to have breakfast? No, Mommy, I don't need any breakfast this morning. That strange feeling in here, am I right? Yeah. And you go to the exam and you sit before the examiner and he or she looks at you as if they're looking right through you. That's what happened here. The king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Oh, I recommend to you, young people, obedience to the word of God. Make room for the word of God. And what has happened here will happen to you today. You're a bondservant. Obey the Lord. Now, obedience must be 100%. Obedience must be 100%. Now, you have a few medical people here. When I went to school, there was a law called the all or nothing law. All or nothing. Every cell in your body responds 100% or zero. Now, that cell may not always be in the best condition. It may be sick. The cell may be sick. But if it's going to respond, it responds 100% of what it's able to do. And that's what God wants from us. So those of you that have arthritis, don't let that be an excuse. He wants 100% response from what you're able to do. And all the other problems that we have, God wants 100%. It's like making or following a recipe, baking a cake. You know, there's some folks, I know this from experience as a boy. My mother used to do it. If she'd get a recipe, she never followed the recipe. She always modified it. Now, she was good, though. Things came out good. But by and large, if you don't follow the recipe, you're going to end up with a catastrophe. This is the recipe. And if you follow this, God will honor you. I think it's time for me to stop. We're going to continue tomorrow on this whole subject of the Lord and the servants. But there was a young fellow who gathered among many. Jobs were scarce, and he came with many others seeking employment. Just a little bit of a fellow, and all these bigger people. And so the employer looked at him and said, well, young man, why are you here? He said, well, I want a job. You advertise that you're employing people. I want a job. The interviewer said, young fellow, what can you do? You know what he said? I can do what I'm told. How's that? That should be the attitude of us as believers. He is Lord. Only when we are in compliance and total obedience to him. May the Lord grant it for Christ's sake.